Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. lets me know that we should be here. May the Lord help you and get you through this day. May you enjoy what you're about to hear. May Ken's voice ring true and clear as he spreads the word this Sunday. May his sermon reach your ears and teach you the lesson for which it speaks. And on top of that, remember, here at God's Rainbow Ministries, we love you all, and thank you for joining us here this Sunday afternoon.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. That was great. Well, we're going to play some music here, okay? And here we go.
Thank you. seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside.
By your side.
can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
And invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2 as we return back to our study in Acts after some time away. This evening I want to speak to you about experiencing the Holy Spirit. Over the course of 3 Sundays in March, we want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit and all He can do in your life. Yet many of us think of God the Father and we speak of Jesus Christ, but little is said about the Holy Spirit. One pastor referred to this as thinking of our gallbladder. I'm really not sure what my gallbladder does, but I'm so glad it's working properly. Or think of your pituitary gland. Most of us are not sure what this gland does, and we do not stop to think if our pituitary gland is working properly, but we know it's essential. Just as we neglect to think about our pituitary glands, we think of the Holy Spirit. Life demands an energy from you that is not in you. We call this burnt out. In order to truly navigate all that life throws at you, you need a power not from within you, but from the outside. This is why you need the outside power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit promises to do so much in the lives of the believer. Let me show you something in the magnitude of this gift. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. That's John chapter 16, verse 7. See, the Helper is another name for the Holy Spirit. The circle, the word advantage here in your Bibles, it was to the disciples' advantage that Jesus go away. Did you hear what Jesus said? Pause and consider this for a moment. How many believers would like to be alive when Jesus was walking on water, healing the sick, and raising the dead? Have you ever been tempted to think my faith would be so much stronger if I were there to see Jesus in person? You see, when Jesus is around, the disciples had the power near them to raise the dead, heal the sick, and walk on water. Yet Jesus tells the 12 disciples, It was to their advantage that he go away, because the Helper will come. Given the immense power and abilities of Jesus, the Helper must be a substantial gift to Jesus' followers. Can you imagine how unbelievable this sounded to the 12? Having the Holy Spirit is better than if Jesus were alive and walking on earth today. In athletic competition, we often talk about home field advantage, but the Holy Spirit is better than the home field advantage. Again, he is the outside power you need. We could say it this way: having the Spirit in you is better than having Jesus beside you. The Father loved you so much that he gave you 2 great gifts, the Son for you and the Spirit to you. He is as real as Jesus. So keep your bookmark in Acts 2, and we'll be there in just a moment. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a force or a thing. Many of you know this, but I need to remind all of us. The Holy Spirit is a person with all the characteristics of God the Father and God the Son. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has intelligence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, he has feelings in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and a will in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Intelligence, feelings, and a will are qualities you see in a person, not in a force. So we should never refer to the Holy Spirit as a force. We should never refer to the Spirit as it. We should follow the Bible's lead by speaking of the Holy Spirit using a personal pronoun such as he, just as Jesus does in John chapter 14, verse 26. An example of this in India might be equating the Spirit with Shakti, okay, or what is divine energy in Hinduism, or even the force in the popular movies of a Star Wars series. This is a mistake, for the Spirit of God is much more than a force. Jesus tells us something encouraging about the Spirit when he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." John 14:16. Here the word is paraclete, which means comforter, counselor, helper, supporter, advisor, ally, or advocate. Listen again to Jesus speak of the paraclete. Okay? But when the Helper comes, one night, will send you to the Father, to the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. That's John chapter 15, verse 26. A few moments ago, I spoke to you about the outside power of the Holy Spirit. It's a great gift of God that the Spirit is personal with his children. The power of this is so simple. For those of you who are parents, think of how you comfort scared children in the blackness of night. You never comfort your children at night by saying a great force is with you. Instead, you tell your scared children, I am with you. Your father and your mother, we are here beside all night. The Holy Spirit teaches, guides, comfort, and encourages you personally. A force does not comfort, but a person does. Throughout the Bible teaches on the Spirit, we learn that the Spirit grieves, prays, gives, helps, speaks, forbids, teaches, guides, and leads. Because the Holy Spirit is personal. He is able to think and he is able to talk. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's John chapter 16, verses 13 to 14. The Holy Spirit has some truth. He wants to teach you. The enemy will tell you that you are worthless, but the Spirit will tell you many of you are God's child and God delights in you. The best way to hear the truth of the Holy Spirit, the very best way to be taught by the Holy Spirit, is to have an open Bible and ask the Spirit to speak to you. See, God has not left you alone in this world. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help you battle depression. God has not left you alone in this world. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help you battle loneliness. God has not left you alone in this world. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help you battle feelings of impotence. Okay, God has not left you alone in this world. He has sent the Holy Spirit to help you battle heartbreak. Yes, the Holy Spirit has some truth. He wants to teach you. Let's pause to pray before we go any further in this message. If you're facing something in your life and you need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are so conscious for your life struggles, where you say, I am desperate, the Holy Spirit stands, I pray over you. Father, we pray that your presence will come down on us today. We need your Spirit to make yourself known and to make us feel your authority over us. We need to sense his presence with us in this life. We are so lonely and so many people have disappointed us. We are so weak and we need to hear your truth. But often, Lord, we confess our laziness to you when we don't open your word, the Bible. Other times, Lord, the words on the page feel flat. We feel like we've tried reading the Bible, but nothing magical happened. Come, Holy Spirit, make the words of the Bible come alive in front of us. Cause me to be deeply obedient to your truth and to make me live in the wisdom of your truth. Yes, cause your word to come home to us. Open our very eyes so we properly see your word. Then we will pray that your holiness will be evident. Okay? Let's turn our hearts away from the worthless things and set our lives over to the very thing that can give life. That's Psalm chapter 119, verses 36 and 37. Lastly, make your people come alive. Amen? The Holy Spirit is an extension of Jesus. Having the Spirit in you is better than having Jesus beside you. Everything in the part of the Acts is simply setting the scene for the Big Bang of Pentecost in Acts 2. Remember that the band of 120 disciples prayed for 40 days before today's story. There is so much excitement in these people. Can you feel it? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native tongue? Corinthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. For Erga, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them telling them in their own tongue the mighty works of God, and we were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But the others mocked, said, we are filled with new wine. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. We're going to spend a few moments in Acts and remember this message, but we will also come back to this passage to explore the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the strange gift of tongues promised here. I invite you to join with me next Sunday as we will answer so many of your questions about speaking in tongues. The phenomenon of the Spirit's arrival. Notice the wind and the fire in verses 2 and 3. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. It was not wind, but a sound like wind, something resembling a rushing hurricane. It announced the presence of the Holy Spirit. At the times, the Holy Spirit makes himself known with visible, audible, touchable manifestations. In the Old Testament, there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. At Jesus' baptism, there was a dove. Okay, in Acts chapter 4, the building shakes. In Acts 6, Stephen's face was like the face of an angel. In Acts 16, there was an earthquake. At times, the Spirit stoops to give us visible, audible, touchable demonstrations of his presence and power. Why he does this for some and not others, and at some times and not other times, is part of his sovereign wisdom. He is not fire, he is not wind, he is not a dove, he is not a warm glow. So he will not use these manifestations in a way that allows us to confuse him with them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. See, two things happened on the church's birthday, a miracle and a milestone. Let's look at the miracle. The miracle was everybody heard the message of God in their own language. This happened at Pentecost, which is one of the three major festivals of the Jewish faith. Pentecost comes from a word meaning 50. And it came 50 days after Passover. Jewish people from all over the world would come in their pilgrimage to the festival. Back then, Israel was a bunch of farmers, and so they celebrate the first fruits of the crops and the harvest. Look at verses 9 to 11. And you'll see people from modern-day Iran, modern-day Turkey, Egypt, Libya, and Italy, to name a few. They were there, 14 different regions represented. There were different languages and even different dialects within those languages, and yet when people spoke, they heard the message in their own language. Christianity and messianicism is for everybody. It was God's way of telling the church and God's way of telling the world that the message of Jesus Christ is for everybody. The Christian faith, the Messianic faith, is not just a Jewish thing, not just a Jerusalem thing, but it's a God thing. When the gospel was first preached to the world, it was preached in every language at once. Can you appreciate the significance of this? By a deliberate miracle, God made sure that there was no language that had precedence over any other in the Christian or Messianic faith. There is one language or culture that has pride of place. Compare this to Islam and the Quran for a moment. As far as Muslims are concerned, God speaks Arabic. All original revelation was Arabic, and the original communication of Islam to the world was Arabic. Therefore, if you want to hear God's words, you must hear it or read it in Arabic. All the translations are not really translations. They are not really God's word. Because of Pentecost, Christianity doesn't take just one language or one culture. We do believe the Word of God can be translated. If you have it in Spanish or if you have it in English, that is the Word of God in English. Or if you have the Word of God in Spanish, yes, the Gospel is for everybody. Say that with me. The Gospel is for everybody. Let's look at the milestone. And what is the milestone? Look at the end of verse 11. We hear them telling them in their own tongues the mighty works of God. This was an intelligent communication of facts of gospel. Everyone was witnessing. Everyone was talking about the same thing. Did you know that there or 6,909 distinct languages spoken in the world today, and God wants the gospel proclaimed in each and every one of these languages. The first worship service, the first sermon was preached in what language? It was preached in all of them. The gospel is how you experience the outside power of the Holy Spirit within your life. Let's go with a closing prayer. Father, we thank you for the tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the remarkable gift of your great Spirit. Thank you for loving us so much that you have sent the Spirit to make your presence real to us. We pray that we would cause us to receive his counsel for our lives. We pray you would fill our lives with the Spirit's presence. Believers pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you now. We pray that you would bring tremendous beauty and grace into our lives and so empower our witness for Christ that those outside of Christ are attracted to the source of this beauty, God himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this brings us to the most important question of all. How many of you do not know Jesus? And that's okay, because you will get a chance to in a moment. But let me ask you, you know, are you tired of walking around aimlessly in life, not knowing which way is up or down? Okay, you're dazed and confused. Are you lost, searching for something but don't know what it is? You need to be found. Maybe you suffer from some kind of depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from an addiction such as alcohol, drugs, okay, gambling, overeating, sexual immorality. Whatever it is, you see, God can take that away. But in order for him to do so, guess what, folks? He's got to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do anything for you. So I ask you, will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior today? If so, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, today, and be my Savior. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry want to welcome you into the family of God. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Okay, normally at this time I would ask people to call in, but you know what? I don't have to do that at all. Because you know, and the Lord knows, if you ask him into your life today. With that being said, okay, I pray that, you know, that you find that you need others in your life, okay? And what I mean by others, I mean, now that you're saved, you need to follow up with some things, like maybe find yourself a church or this could be your church here, okay? Every Sunday you can come and listen to the church service, okay? Get in fellowship with others, okay? Okay, read your Bible. Pray for yourself and others. If you follow these things, you are walking the narrow road, and you're on your way into entering the kingdom of heaven. But you can't just stop at this simple little prayer alone and say, okay, I said it, and expect things to start, you know, changing. You've got to put a little work in, okay? You know, yes, God will be there for you, but you've got to pray. You've got to ask God, okay? All right? And you need to read the Word of God so that you can be knowledgeable to fight off the enemy, okay? Because the Word is the sword, okay? And you can wield that sword to fight the enemy, okay, that tries to come back in and take you back, okay? So you need to know the Word in order to do so. Well, this concludes our sermon. And now I'm going to go play some more music. Here we go.
Heavy things to wipe away everything, 'cause I'm not who I am.
The message for you is today's prophetic word, and this goes out to all those out there that need it today, and you know who you are. So the Father says today, abundance is the base state I have chosen for you, and in fact, every one of my children, I am not a lesser God, I am more than enough God. There is no lack or poverty in heaven. I intend there to be no lack of poverty in your life. If you cannot describe your life circumstances as more than enough, then partner with me in this day and we will change all that. Abraham knew it was to have more than enough. He was known by, even by his enemies as a friend of God, that the word beloved means something contractual. Renew the pact of your association with me today. What does that look like? When you take care of my business, I will take care of your business. Even when I ask for your Isaacs will be willing to maintain fidelity, that is implied, in fact, required. In so doing, the limitations are removed and you step into that rarefied atmosphere of an experience where all things are possible. Adopt my nature, my character as your role model today. Do it now without delay. In every situation when others ask, what are we going to do? Let your answer be, what are you going to do with what God would do if he were in our situation? In reality, I am in every situation you face. I am in you. You are in me. The circumstance that you face, the problem in front of you is as much as my problem as it is yours. When is the last time you confronted the challenge before you, threw back your head in laughter and said, Father, you've got a problem? That's a lap of faith. That is your response today. When in what you are facing, because it was finally set in just how willing I am to move in your life and bring you to the fluence, benefit, and blessing that is your portion in my kingdom. Amen. Well, like I said, this goes out to those of you who needed that word and you know who you are. Let it be a blessing to you. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring on Tony F. to give us a closing prayer.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to be grateful for everybody who came today to listen to Ken's word. I hope you take a little bit from it. I hope you remember that you're loved, you're cared for, and you're needed. And if you do go out on this holy day, St. Patrick's Day, to celebrate, please drive carefully. Don't overindulge and keep yourself safe until we meet again on Tuesday, 8 o'clock Central Time, here on God's Rainbow Ministry. Until then, may his loving light engulf you.
Amen, amen. All righty. Well, I'm going to close this out with a song, and I want to say thank you to all my listeners. God bless you. May you have the rest of the Sunday be a blessed one to you all. Okay, here we go.
Was the rest of my life began.
bye-bye, folks. It was great having you with us today. I hope you enjoyed today's sermon and today's service. I hope it was a blessed one for you. Like I said, we are off on Mondays, and we will be back Tuesday night for Purpose Gospel Radio at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Hope to see you all there. God bless. Have a great rest of the weekend. Okay, I hope it's sunny, okay, and pleasant like it is here today, since you can go outside and barbecue. Amen. Bye-bye.